The Lord is worthy to be served, isn't He? Appreciate that song tonight. The Lord is worthy to have us give our lives, our all to Him. My desire tonight is that we would be strong Christians. Not weak Christians, but strong Christians. I want to have something more than a form, don't you? It's hard, even in this life, to have a whole lot of respect for things that are presented in form only with no substance. And I don't want to present my life to God in form only or to the world. But I want to have something that is real, something that goes past lip service. But I want to live a life where I can experience power in prayer. I want to be able to reach God's throne. I want to be able to have power in my life where those things that would easily beset me, that I can go to God and find a place of grace and power that enables me to live in a way that I otherwise would not be able to live. I want to be able to bear fruit. I want the fruit of the Spirit to be manifest in my life. And I want the blessings of God to be upon me. For this to happen, we have a part to play. I think that lazy Christians end up being empty Christians. And I believe that for us to be strong in the Lord, we're going to have to be strong with the strength that God gives us in our discipleship. My message tonight would be titled, Be Doers. God wants us to be doers. And that's the thought that I have tonight. I'd like to read a few verses in the first chapter of James. We'll start in the 22nd verse, and I guess I'll go ahead and just read a few of these verses, and then we'll come back to them. The 22nd verse of the first chapter says, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seemeth to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. And lastly, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. We read this or quoted this the other day. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father. I want to know what pure religion is before God. Not necessarily what man thinks pure religion is, but Lord, what is pure religion to you that I might know how to live my life? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Well, the Bible says a lot about being deceived. The Bible, in many places, starts out and says, take heed unto yourselves lest. There are places that start out by saying, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. This passage of Scripture also speaks of a man that allowed himself to become deceived. Well, I don't want to be deceived. And this passage of Scripture adds to the list of Scriptures that speak on this subject. And this outlines a popular activity in the world, in the religious world today. Not just the religious world, but I'll say in a lot of different areas. And that is people that hear, they know, or they gain understanding, and they talk a lot about what they've heard and what they know, but they don't do. You ever met anyone that way? They know all the answers. They have all knowledge. They've heard it all. But it seems like when it comes to doing, it's a little bit lacking. And these scriptures outline that this can be dangerous to us as Christians. We can become deceived if we're not careful. So James tells us, be a doer of the word. Be a doer. Be more than a hearer. And I think about us as Christians. Most of us here have been longtime attendees of Church of God. We've been blessed since childhood, since youth, to hear the word of the Lord. We have been blessed with a lot of knowledge of the Scripture. We've heard it over and over again. We've seen it lived out before us by many faithful men and women of the Lord living the Scriptures out in their life. Many of us here have had parents where we've grown up in homes where we didn't just see it at church, but we go home and our parents teach us and live the gospel message. And we've been blessed about those things. And no doubt, many of us here have talked a lot about those sorts of things, as well we should, to a degree. We should. We're taught to share the gospel, to teach, to instruct. That's part of our responsibility. But what I'm challenged for myself tonight, and I trust that you are challenged with it too, does our doing match up with our knowledge? Does our doing equate with our talking, with our understanding, with the communication perhaps that we share with others about what we do know? It's a stark lesson that Jesus gave to us in the parable of the talents. You remember he gave to one man one talent, and to another man two, and to another man five. That was one of the parables of the talents. And it wasn't so much how many talents he gave the people. In fact, the number of talents that he gave to the people in of itself, that was not what they were judged upon, except that the more talents they had, the more he required them to do with them. But I noticed that they didn't get to the end of the way, and Jesus said, I gave you five talents. You had more talents than anyone. You knew more gospel. You had five talents of gospel. You knew more than everybody else. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He didn't say that. But what he focused on was what they did with the talents that he gave them. I have been struck many times with the truth that we have been gifted with many talents of truth. We have been gifted with, I would argue, 5 talents of truth. Knowledge of the gospel. Blessed with the knowledge of the gospel. When you compare what we know and what we have been exposed to so many of the people in the world over time, we are a blessed people. Highly blessed with the gospel. Knowledge of the gospel. We've been given many talents of the gospel. But with that comes a responsibility. And may God help us not bury the talents that God has given to us. What a tragedy to bury 5 talents of knowledge that we have of the gospel. Or underutilize it. Gives us 5 talents of the knowledge of truth, but we only use 2 talents of it. And I believe that if that happens, that when the Lord comes back, He isn't going to be pleased because He gave to us such a wonderful blessing of truth that we took a portion of it and used it and left the other unused. And if we bury it or we are content with just hearing and knowing, seems like sometimes people are content with hearing and knowing, we end up as this person that he describes in this passage. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. It didn't say that he's like somebody that beheld a made-up face or beheld himself with a mask on or modified to look different than what he really was, but he beheld his natural face in a glass. He saw who he was in a mirror. And he looked and he saw an image that reflected truth. And he was able to get a hold of, that's who I am. There's truth that applies to me. And that's important. And it's a blessing to find out from God things about ourselves that maybe we didn't know, or a reminder. That's a good first step. But then what happens when we don't like what we see? What happens when we don't like what we hear? What happens when we come to church and the gospel is preached and it touches on something that is inconvenient? Because if we were to measure to that, if we were to accept it as it was presented according to the gospel, it would drive necessary change in our lives that we really didn't want to make. I think we all face that at times where we come face to face with unpleasant truth about ourselves, places that God wants us to measure up. And sometimes we can take note of that and then the doorbell rings. Or it's time to cut the grass. It's time to go to work. It's time to go to school. The cares of life press in on us. And all of these things take on a seemingly very high sense of urgency and a lot of priority. It needs to be done right now. We gotta go to work. We gotta move. And then what happens is we beheld ourselves, God touched us in our spirit, we came to church, we were convicted, we saw something that the Lord said, come unto me and give that to me and let me do something special for you. And And it was like, oh Lord, that's difficult. I don't know how I'm going to do that. Oh, say it's, wow, it's 8 o'clock. I better be going. And we quickly become distracted with so many of the cares of life and things that we are willing to put ahead of what God has dealt with us on. And so we go our way, and straightway, if we're not careful, we forget what manner of person we are. And we let a valuable opportunity slip away, sometimes because of distraction, sometimes because of a less than adequate sense of urgency on our part to close the gap between where we are and where God says that He wants us to be. And as Jesus said in another parable, the fowls are quick to come in and snatch away the truth that was put in front of us. And where we once felt convicted, we no longer feel convicted because the seed was snatched away. And we allowed ourselves to become carried away with other things. Or we let the cares of life come and choke out that was good that God gave us, that would have been to our benefit. Or sadly, sometimes the good seed is sown and the Lord helps us understand that's for you. And we behold our face in a glass and the Lord says, this is you, this is for you. But it falls on shallow ground. It doesn't take root. It's inconvenient to allow to stay. Because it's really not what we want. And so, before long, it withers up and it goes away, easily forgotten, put to the back of our mind. And with time, what happens is we can allow ourselves to become deceived. Because God is not going to force down our throats truth if we consciously, willingly push it away over and over and over again. The Lord is going to respect that. And finally, with time, it is a dangerous, dangerous place to be in, folks. This is why conviction is your friend. This is why it is of the Lord's mercies when He comes our way and deals with us in certain areas, because if we don't accept the chastisement of the Lord and we feel like, well, that's painful, we would rather not have pain. Pain is your friend. Because if that pain goes away without us responding to it, we can find ourselves in a place where we believe we are in an okay place and we're not. But we don't feel that anymore. Because we have walked away from the mirror. We've walked away from God's Holy Spirit that was so faithful to show us what we needed to see, but we didn't want to see it. We allowed other things to get in between us and what God had to give to us. And so we go out the back door and straightway forget what manner of man we are. May God help us. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, all right, now this is somebody else, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Saints, it takes diligence to be a doer. It takes purpose on our part if you want to be a doer. There's a lot of people in the world that are talkers, a lot of talkers. There's a lot of people that know, or they think they do. There's a lot of people that are ready to teach you sometimes. But when it gets down to those that are willing, by the grace of God and humility of heart, to come to where the Word of the Lord is. And not only come to where the Word of the Lord is, but then to hear the Word of the Lord. To give ourselves to hearing what doth the Word of the Lord say. And then, thirdly, be a doer of the Word. When no one else is around, when we're not in church service, then we go away and continue with therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. It's so easy sometimes to have good intentions. And to say, yes, that was for me. I needed that. Lord, help me to move up in that area. That just caught me right where I was. And we acknowledge that. And now we have some knowledge of that. And but sometimes we can find a false sense of security in acknowledging our need, in knowing what our need is, in knowing what the truth is, but then not being a doer. Sometimes we can feel like that suffices for doing. But knowing and having good intentions and having knowledge, it doesn't take the place of doing. And I know that God gives us time, and He's merciful. I'm thankful for that because my guess is we are all examples of those that are so grateful that God gives us more than one opportunity, and that He is a merciful God to continue to deal with our hearts. And we don't always get it right. Most often we don't, right out of the gate. And we fall and we stumble multiple times. I'm describing myself. And so we're grateful for the mercy of God. But did you know that God has grace and help for people that give their heart and their lives to God and say, Lord, help me that I may have what it takes to be more than a hearer of the Word. That I would have what it takes to have something more than just knowledge and understanding of what the Scriptures say. Lord, help me not to be deceived into thinking that because I understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, that takes the place of being a doer of the Word. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. And here he is talking about being deceived again. This man's religion is vain. I think we could probably take this verse and go maybe several different areas. But I do want to make mention of this, that it doesn't do us any good to have all the answers for everybody else and have knowledge if we can't apply it to our own lives. God wants us to give ourselves to understanding His Word, that we may apply it by the power of His Holy Spirit to our own lives, that we may be able to grow in grace. The Lord wants to see us grow. God wants to see us bear fruit. He wants to see us have power in our Christian lives. He wants to see us get to the place where we have something not only for ourselves, but for other people that are in need. And we can all do that by the help of the Lord. We just have to be a handmaid of the Lord. Lord, behold your servant. Lord, I'm willing to give you my life and my all. I'm willing to do those things that that are difficult to do. Yes, it requires sacrifice. It's accomplished through digging through dirt that's hard to dig through sometimes. And you gotta lay your foundation on rock and you start saying, yes, Lord, I'm gonna dig. And pretty soon you hit something that's difficult to get through. A hurt that you may have in your life. You wanna try to get around that hurt. So we maybe try to dig around the hurt like you dig around a rock. And all of a sudden you hit something else. And maybe it's something that's in your life that you don't wanna let go of. And Lord, I want, and you try to get around that, and it's hard sometimes to dig deep and clear it out so that you can then be filled and have the foundation of Jesus Christ through and through and not be built on sand, things that move, things that we ourselves have underneath that serve as a foundation that God doesn't want to serve as a foundation for our Christian lives. Before I close tonight, I'd like to read a verse in the 6th chapter of Luke just to support the verses out of James. This is Jesus now. This is not James. This is Jesus Christ. He said in the 46th verse of the 6th chapter, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Why do you call me Lord? Why do you refer to me as a Lord, somebody that would be worthy to worship? Why do you refer to me as a God that you would think you would bow down and give your all to? Why are you saying Lord, Lord, but yet you're not doing the things that I ask for you to do? "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them." There's those three things again. Whosoever cometh. Folks, it's important to come to where the word of the Lord is. It's important to come to service. It's important to go to your closet of prayer. It's important to come to where the word of the Lord can be read. Make time for yourselves in the day to read the word of the Lord. It's important to give the Lord space, quiet space in your mind. Come before the Lord in reverence. Come. And when you come, come with a heart to hear what doth the word of the Lord say. And then, when you hear it, be willing to do it. That's what Jesus said. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them," all three of those things, "I will show you to whom he is like." He's like a man which built a house and he digged deep. He didn't say it was easy all the time, but he dug deep nevertheless. Whatever it was that he ran into, he kept digging until he was able to dig deep and lay a foundation on rock. Lay a foundation on those things that Jesus Christ would be pleased for us to build our life around. And the person that did that, when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently on that house, it couldn't shake it because it was founded on a rock. But the one that heard. So there's people that do come and they do hear, but they don't do. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, and when the stream came, when life came, when temptations came, when it went out the back doors and faced the reality of life, was not able to stand as a Christian, fell, because his foundation was not on a rock. And it said that the house fell, and it said the ruin of that house was great. I want all of our houses to stand. I don't want any of our houses to fall and experience great ruin. And John 15, and we'll close with this. And 2, this is Jesus again. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And the 8th verse, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Purging process is most often not pleasant, but it's needful. And the Lord is merciful when he sees that we want to bear fruit and we are coming and we're hearing and we're, Lord, I want to serve you. And there's these things in my life that I'm weak in and I fail in and they hinder me. The Lord doesn't just come along and whack us down and that's the end of us and he throws us out to be burned. He is a God who loves us. He's concerned about us. He wants us to bear much fruit. We just read that. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And so he wants that from us. So when he sees that we are bearing fruit and that we are willing for him to purge us so that we can bring forth more fruit, then he will do that for us. And that purging process many times happens when he shows us our face in a glass and we behold ourselves as it is, as we are. And the Lord says, now I need to do something in this area. And purging and cutting hurts, but we say, yes, Lord. Lord, be merciful to me. Whatever it takes, Father. And we allow him to do that in our lives, then we'll bear more fruit. Let's be encouraged tonight to be doers, to be energetic Christians, if I can say that. I don't want to be a lazy Christian. Yes, I want to come to the house of the Lord. I want to come to where I can read the Word of the Lord. I want to come and give God space in my mind and my heart. And I want to hear what he has to say when I come. But then when I go away, I want to do. By the help of God, that I may glorify him by bearing fruit according to the Spirit of God that worketh in me. Pray for me. I want to be true and faithful. Amen.